Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is April 11th, the second Sunday of Easter. Today's Gospel reading picks up on that first Easter Sunday, right where we left off last week. This is the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening, on that first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Well, as I said, today's gospel story takes place on that first Easter Sunday. So this is perhaps 12 or maybe 15 hours after the women first discovered the empty tomb. Nearly all of Jesus' disciples are gathered together. They're hiding in a locked room. They're afraid of being arrested themselves when Jesus comes and stands among them and greets them, offers them peace. But Thomas wasn't there. And, well, you know the story. Thomas wants more proof. He wants to see the wounds on Jesus' body. And I appreciate so much Thomas's desire for proof before he'll believe. And I love how Jesus is okay with that. He gives him what he needs to believe. Some of you have heard me preach about that. Today, though, I want to consider with you a different question. Why does Jesus still have scars after he's raised from the dead? Have you ever wondered that? Why are the scars still there? John is intentional about what he includes in his telling of the Jesus story. These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. John has a purpose for what he's writing. So Jesus' scars must be significant in John's view. But why? Why do they matter? Well, first, it seems pretty clear Jesus' scars serve to confirm his identity for all the disciples, but especially for Thomas. This is not some imposter, some long-lost twin brother of Jesus showing up to claim his place. Not that anyone would really want to claim the place of somebody arrested and crucified by the Roman emperor. But still, this is not an outsider. This is not an imposter. This is Jesus. And just as importantly, the scars prove it really was Jesus on the cross. I don't think there's really much of any chance the Romans and the temple guards would have arrested the wrong person after Judas identified Jesus for them in the garden, or that somehow someone switched places with Jesus in custody before he got to the cross. But you know, when someone whom you watched die shows up and starts talking with you, I imagine you want to account for every possible explanation. The scars prove it was definitely Jesus up on the cross. It was Jesus whose side was pierced and blood and water came out, which was a result of the fluid buildup around his heart and his lungs from the suffocation of crucifixion, medical evidence that Jesus was dead. Not that John or Thomas necessarily knew the science behind it, they just recorded what happened. But this guy standing in the locked room is definitely the same guy who died on that cross. Second, not long after Jesus' death and resurrection, as the early Christians in the years afterwards were trying to interpret and explain the significance of what happened, one group came up with a theory that since Jesus was God, he could not actually suffer and die. It's a heresy called docetism, which comes from a Greek word meaning to seem. Jesus must have only seemed to die, they thought, because they could not imagine God suffering and dying. That's still hard for us to imagine and comprehend, right? So they said Jesus was not really a flesh and blood human being like you and me. Instead, they decided, he must have been more of a spiritual being, sort of a phantom in disguise, just pretending to be human, and therefore just pretending to die, just pretending to be wounded, just pretending to give up his life. And the rest of the church rejected this idea as heresy, partially because of this biblical evidence of Jesus' scars. A phantom Jesus would not have been wounded. He wouldn't be carrying these scars. Jesus was a real human being who really died. And this is why, by the way, in that Nicene Creed, the historical creed of the church, the longer one that we say sometimes at festivals especially, there's a line, "For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death, and was buried." That line specifying he suffered death is rejecting this idea that Jesus did not really die. He did suffer. He did die. And he has the scars to prove it. Of course, for most people, believing a man named Jesus really died on a cross around the year 30 AD, that's not the hard part. The hard part is believing he came back to life. Easter Sunday is the part requiring faith. Good Friday is easy to imagine, at least the physical part. So if Jesus is resurrected, shouldn't he be all healed? I mean, his resurrected body seems to have some new rules, new abilities. Apparently going through locked doors is not a problem for Jesus now. 6 weeks later, he'll ascend to heaven. He'll say he'll rise up through the clouds. And even before his crucifixion and death, Jesus did miracles like walking on water and, oh yeah, he healed people. Shouldn't he have healed his scars? I've been reading a science fiction series called Old Man's War, and without going into the plot, a main idea is that humanity has developed this ability to transfer consciousness to new bodies. So everybody in the military has these upgraded, genetically and bionically modified bodies with self-healing properties and skin-repairing nanobots. Kind of a ridiculous series and premise. But their new bodies are basically perfect. And the author assumes perfection doesn't include scars. When they're healed, they're fully healed. There's no evidence of the wounds left. So why would Jesus' body have defects? Jesus' scars are not a new issue, by the way. 800 years ago, Thomas Aquinas argued that Jesus' scars are not an imperfection like we would think. They're a trophy that he won by defeating death. St. Augustine, centuries earlier, said that the scars were there to taunt Jesus' enemies, to say, "Look what you tried to do and how you failed." Charles Spurgeon suggested Jesus' scars are ornaments to impress the angels in heaven, and more importantly, they're reminders to us that he died for us. And I imagine that that's the same reason the statue in the front of our sanctuary and the statue above the coat racks and the stained glass ascension window in the balcony and really most images of the risen Jesus include the wounds. They include the nail marks. so that we'll remember what Jesus has done for us. That's a good reason. Or perhaps the reason Jesus has scars is because we have scars. Hebrews chapter 2 says, God in Jesus Christ became like us in every respect because he himself was tested by what he suffered. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested, to help us. Our scars are obviously not from crucifixion, but the experiences we go through in life, they leave marks. Physical trauma leaves marks. So do emotional and spiritual experiences. Broken relationships leave marks. Unfollowed dreams leave marks. Losses of friends and family, betrayal, falls and failures, the times when you've been burned literally or figuratively, it leaves scars. Father Gregory Boyle, a Catholic priest who works in gang intervention, titled his memoir, Tattoos on the Heart. I love that title. No one gets through life unscathed. Our bodies are not flawless. Our hearts are not pure. And yet Jesus chooses to become one of us. Jesus chooses to be born as a human being, born into a body with the capacity to acquire scars. He chooses to experience the same reality we live in, to be wounded by the same kinds of things we are wounded by, and he chooses to keep those scars. Perhaps that's what Thomas needs to know to believe. In order to trust, in order to follow, he needs a wounded Savior. We need a wounded Savior. Dr. Raj Nadella suggests Thomas wants assurance that Jesus was not just an eloquent speaker and a charismatic leader, but actually had skin in the game, nails in his flesh, a spear in his side. And when Jesus invites Thomas to see his wounds, that's when Thomas makes his declaration of faith, "My Lord and my God." Thomas recognizes who Jesus is because of the wounds. It doesn't say whether he actually puts his fingers in the wounds, but the wounds are what convince him of who Jesus is, that Jesus is his Lord, is his Savior, is his Messiah, is God for him, for us. You have a God who knows everything you've gone through, a God who loves you anyway. Scars show the character of God, this God who has taken on human flesh. They reveal the depth of God's love. In order to show us with all of our scars that we are beloved, God has received scars. You have a Savior who has gone through death for you and has come out the other side carrying the evidence. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you became human for our sake. You were tested in every way, and you experienced suffering. Thank you for being present with us in our suffering, in all of our lives, in the good times and in the bad. Thank you for revealing your heart to us, for not letting the worst this world can offer get in the way of your love for your people. Lord, help us to trust you, even when it is hard to see. Amen. I can't include it in the video here, but there's a song that I want to share with you from the Christian band I Am They. It's called Scars, and I hope that you'll listen to it and consider what it means to have scars. There's a link in the description of this video. Have a great week, and remember, if you're interested in that Bible study on Acts, let me know today, please. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now go listen to that song. See you later.